Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. What a morning. I'm telling you, y'all. This is your host, Cedric Chabaz, for Revolutionary Soul Talk Radio, also known as God Brother Radio, live from Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you, God, Jesus, for another morning. I hope everybody had a blessed weekend over Memorial Day. And we got interesting topic today. The title of the show is called Three World Lies That Hold Us African American Back Collectively. Withhold us African Americans back collectively. And I know if you look at all four corners of earth and all countries that you would see that people who are considered black or from African descent are kind of pretty much are all in the same situation as far as being considered third-class citizens. It doesn't matter if their last name is Islamic or their last name is Hispanic or English or French or all the last names that we do have as Africans, Italians, you name it. We are collectively have been branded as the third class of the lowest of the lowest of the citizens of all nations. It doesn't matter where we go as Africans, even if we go to Asia, if we go to Europe, if we go to South America, we are looked at as taboo, as the worst of the worst. And that is the biggest lie that the world has bought into and has sold to Africans around the world. Now, going back to let me read the description of the show. The two biggest lies, and I guess I should say the three biggest lies that the spiritual enemy, the devil, has told us as a people worldwide is, number one, that we are cursed as a people, black skin, because we are descendants of the Canaanites. Number two, that money is our God and Savior. Number three, that we are not the original Hebrews, and Jesus is European, Michelangelo's picture of a blonde-headed, blue-eyed Jesus. Or we're not God's chosen people. I firmly believe if we teach our children on truth, on knowledge of self, that our children will be filled with the godly education plus secular education, we will be freed as a people collectively. I truly do believe that in my heart, and I will keep preaching that and keep putting that out there until I am no longer on earth in the flesh whatsoever. But, you know, this is an interesting topic because it amazes me that a lot of us African-Americans are still looking towards political solutions, still looking to man or men to solve our collective problem. And really, really, I think the lesson that we should learn as a people, that it doesn't matter pretty much, I'm not saying that politics cannot help us collectively, because that would be not telling the truth, since the civil rights movement in action has gave us a lot of our freedoms, and a lot of brothers and sisters have lost their lives in the struggle. But I also like to say that we as a people, maybe 30 million strong in the United States, we are collectively still considered third-class citizens. I mean, we are Americans by every definition that we were. Our ancestors were slaves that were brought to Jamestown. And to be quite frank, we have to acknowledge that our own African black brothers and sisters sold us into slavery. So what I'm saying is that if that didn't happen, people are saying and they want to, you know, constantly want to bring out show evils of the enslaver, but we first got to take responsibility that our own Africans, our own black man and our own black woman or whoever sold us to slavery. So let's get that straight. You know, nobody came and captured us. We were sold. So starting from that point on, we are we're manufactured USA Americans, and we are Americans by every definition. The first American is the real American is our native brother and sister that people call Indians, but they're called Native Americans. They are the first people who could really actually call themselves Americans. And then, you know, the story, the pilgrims came and Europe came and, you know, did whatever they did to the Native Americans, and then, you know, brought slaves over and for 250 years straight, to my knowledge, have made $22 trillion of free capital and free labor off the backs of African slaves. And that's kind of like the beginning. I mean, if there's anybody, there's nobody more American than our Native American brothers and sisters. But there's nothing more American than us African Americans of African descent in the United States of America. And then you could say, okay, the European Americans who pretty much dominate everything in America on a political level and still hold the power to this day. Are Americans, but you know, to be fair, they're really immigrants. And then you could say, well, we are immigrants too. And the only original people that were not immigrants are the Native Americans. And then there was the portion of the United States of America that at one time was Mexico, and that's pretty much the whole west side of the United States. And they make a claim that's still Mexico. In so many words, you know. So you know, it's a interesting scenario how we interact with each other and we consider each other whatever we consider, because you know, us slaves were here before really everybody but the Native Americans, to my knowledge. You know, I may be wrong on the point of certain people were probably a little here before us, but. You know, so for every definition, there's nobody could call us African Americans, not Americans, not whatsoever. I think that's a collective agreement that we could at least agree on, that we're Americans. But on that note, you know, we're also it's year 2015, and African Americans are still. Collectively, we're still living the ghettos. We're still last in education, last in getting finances for homes and businesses. We're still last in business, being businessmen and businesswomen. We're still last on every category compared to our other brothers and sisters, like our Hispanic brothers and sisters, our Asian brothers and sisters, our Middle Eastern brothers and sisters, our European American brothers and sisters. I mean, you can just name that. There's so many, you know, our Jewish brothers and sisters, our Italian American brothers and sisters, our Irish Americans. You know, we could go through all the immigration from people who come from actually immigrant countries. Have come after us and have actually excelled more than we have financially and educational wise. And so it kind of just, you know, and I get kind of tired of hearing the same cliches about, you know, there's something wrong with us African Americans collectively, and, you know, you know, it's a result of slavery why we haven't really prevailed collectively. And somebody said something the other day. It was very interesting. They pretty much said that African Americans will always be in the same boat they are until the Lord comes. And you know, I'm starting to believe that to a certain extent, and you know, to the fact that you know, the biggest lies that were ever told to us as a people, and especially as African Americans, was that Jesus was a European, that it was European with blonde hair and blue eyes. And that picture, that portrait of Michelangelo, was basically a famous picture that's still used today. And really the majority of the world still believes psychologically that Jesus was blonde hair and blue eyed, when in fact in Revelations, whatever it's written in there, it states that he had, his feet were in fire like burnt brass, and his hair was white like wool. So, you know, if you burn somebody's feet and that look like brass, you know, that's kind of, you know, you're not going to get white feet, or excuse me, you're not going to get European feet or colored feet. So, I mean, but Europeans know it. Europeans know it. Hispanics know it. Our Arab brothers know it. I mean, everybody knows that basically Jesus is not a European American. And although the most programs that we see in America that on TBN and stuff like that shows Jesus as being a European, we all know that's false. And you're probably saying, what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal because for a long time, you know, there's been people who have been who has been pushing this blonde hair, blue eyed Jesus to people all over the world for their own devious reasons. And you know, for example, there's this movie called Shaka Zulu, and Shaka Zulu, you know, I don't want to get it totally wrong because I can't say I attention to the movie that deep, but I think I've seen it once or twice, and really, I don't know. But the overall picture I got about Shaka Zulu was that it was kind of, you know, generic on a level where it just showed like the European man coming over to the African shores, and he sold them the Bible, or he showed them the Christianity, their version of Christianity, or he showed a picture of them of a blue-eyed Jesus, blonde-haired Jesus. Basically telling them that, you know, this is God. And so, in effect, since I'm a European-American, I'm a God, and that means you guys are not God or chosen or nothing. You guys are basically just savages, and until you accept our way of life, then you will remain savages. Your souls, you know, you don't have any souls unless you accept Jesus Christ. And, you know, and in fact, that doctrine right there was misrepresented, and it was misused, and it was used for devious reasons. And the reason I say that is because Christianity itself, from a slave master's point of view in the United States of America, was used as a weapon. But it also was used as to teach black preachers and black and people of the clergy in the African American communities or the black communities back in the day, that they really believed that if you are a black Christian, that you would automatically submit to the slave master because you would see his image as being God and yourself as a slave. So their doctrine was basically for us to be Christians, and their version of Christians is to accept the idea that we're slaves, and that's the way God wanted us to be. Now, the fact is that it's true to a certain extent, because if that wasn't true, we would have not been slaves in the first place. There would be no historical account of that. But at the same time, you got to look at what the institution of slavery is really about. You know, in the Bible, it stipulates that that you actually are called an indentured servant, which means that you have haven't been coerced to be in slavery, but basically that you used your own free will to become a indentured servant for 7 years for your, you know, it's basically a job, you know, for your food or your lodging or something, you know, to take care of yourself as far as your family, as far as human beings. But what happened was the indentured servants, the slave masters, did not honor that indentured servant and went ahead and committed so much atrocities like rape of the woman and the selling of the babies and the killing of the man, and you know, just the awful things of slavery that should not be slaves should not have been dealt with that way according to the scriptures. So you know, it's a big hypocrisy when it comes to African Americans, the United States of America, and I think to myself, it's like, you know, those three major lies has basically kept us slaves of our own mind and our own ways of thinking for all these years. And I really believe that if we as a people continuously to start teaching knowledge of self and teaching truth to our black kids and our black girls, African boys and African-American girls, that we are not the descendants of Canaanites, and that we are the chosen original Hebrews, and that we are the chosen people. Now, I know some people would get offended because they say the Jews are chosen people, but what do you think the original Hebrews are? Jews came from Hebrews or vice versa. But the point what I'm getting at, it's not actually a color thing, but it is a color thing, because if you look at Israel today, our Israel today that exists is basically politically ran by European Jews of German descent. And then second, I think after that, is the European Jews, our brothers and sisters, European Jews of Russian descent. But my bottom line is that even in Israel today, that exists today in 2015, people from African descent, like our Ethiopian Hebrews and people from African descent that live in Israel that are Jews or Hebrews, are still treated as third-class citizens even in Israel. So, you know, there's something that's not right on all parts of this land, from America to Israel to the Middle East to Asia, that for some reason the cultures there or the political governments feel like they keep treating us like we were nothing more than going to be slaves. But, you know, the truth is, and we all know the truth, that and that's what I'm talking about. We've got to, as African Americans, we got to continuously teach our children. We cannot say that the school, it's the school system's problem, that it's other people's problem to go ahead and solve our own problems. When it goes down to it, that we're never going to solve our problem collectively through politics. Politics would do us good to a certain extent, but it's not what God is ordering us to do. What God wants us to do for African Americans is to come back to Him, to our one God. To put His kingdom first and put nothing before His kingdom. And until we do that collectively, we're going to be in the same boat that we are now, that we was back then, and what we're probably going to be in the future. So, you know, my proposed plan is for us to wake up, to teach our children the truth, and to let the truth be known. Because once our children get taught the truth, they won't be blinded by their spiritual enemy's deception, nor will they fall for what the world is telling them what they're worth, instead of listening to God, what God is telling them what they're worth. And, you know, and I think that is probably one of the biggest fears of other people that are not of African descent, is that if we woke up as a people collectively, that we can no longer be used, or we could no longer be blinded about our truth. You know, it's almost like it's a collective effort across the world to make sure that us people from Africa are continue to kill each other and continue to be blind and continue to not know truth and continue to accept everybody else's history but our own. And, you know, and if people from that are not African American are getting offended about what I'm saying that we are the chosen people, well, you know, that is not a new doctrine. Matter of fact, European Americans believe that they're the chosen people. So you know, it's kind of like one of those situations that what is really a chosen people? Well, if you look at the definition and you look at what the scripture wrote, and God says that His chosen people is His special people, but He also said His chosen. He says there will be only a remnant, which is a very small portion of the chosen people that would be saved on the day He comes back to earth. Now, if that means like, okay, the majority of African Americans, if we are the chosen people, will not be existing no more, only the small percentage will, well, I guess that's what it would be. But the truth is still the truth. And right now I believe that our young African American brothers and sisters are running around here and they have no knowledge of the truth of like that, because nobody has taught them. And they want them to stay blind. So the very fact is like, say, hey, you know, you're American, but you don't have any opportunity. And this is the reason why you don't have any opportunities, because your father's not in your house, your mother is this, you don't have no reason, you don't have no opportunities because of this or that. And, you know, everybody's got a reason or a political agenda, or everybody's got not an excuse, but everybody's got a definition or opinion why African Americans collectively are still in the same boat that we have been since, in a sense, almost day one. Well, the very fact is that there's a lot of successful African Americans in all kind of industries. We even have an African American president. So, I mean, to say that we have not grown collectively would be ignorance on my part, so I'm not going to say that. But I am going to say that it just seems like that as soon as the laws of segregation came in place over the years, that we actually fell more apart as a people, because we all are, like our professionals, our doctors and our lawyers and our dentists and our teachers moved out the African American communities when there was segregation, and went ahead and integrated, and so when they integrated, they took their wealth out of the community, and so therefore collectively in the African American community we lost a lot of wealth because of integration. But at the same time, it was like, you know, making that decision to be integrated and to go that particular route was a big cost on us collectively, but it also was a big blessing for our freedoms to be able to not be regulated to be third-class citizens. And, you know, and then on the other flip of the coin is, sometimes I look at it, if we were still segregated and us black people had to be together, is what I'm saying, because we had no choice, we would have more respect for each other. We would have more support of each other. I think we would do things collectively more than individually. Now we do things individually, and we want to stand out, and we want to be the first black to do this, the first black to do that, and we want to be a standout from the collective of our brothers and sisters. And with that kind of mentality right there is the biggest blind spot of it all, because what happens is that most brothers and sisters who so-called become successful, the 1%ers in the United States, they look at themselves as a peculiar people who are of African descent, who are happen to be financially wealthy, that they stay amongst themselves. You know, the idea of them coming together and collectively putting money together so they can, so they can collectively invest into the African-American community is, it would be nice to think that they would be interested in doing that, but to actually think that they're really interested in doing it is beyond my belief. And, you know, so it comes to say that, you know, a lot of people and even ourselves, we like to point out that it's all about the money. It's all about capitalism. It's all about the individual pursuit of happiness in the American way. When in truth, it's supposed to be about us as a collective bunch, as a collective people. You know, back in the day when Africans, African sisters, African American sisters were had jobs and were working into being maids and being servants and things of that nature, and then they would come home and they would have to be the wife at home or be the mother and father role, has not much changed to this day, especially since the passage of the 1996 welfare law, which basically stipulated that when a child gets to 5 or 6 years old, that they're no longer are going to be receiving any kind of benefits from the federal government, which in return puts pressure on the woman to either have a job, period, by the time that child is 5 or 6 years old. Now, you guys are saying, well, what's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that, but they didn't have a B plan, to the point where they didn't have a plan to implement how that was also puts the stress on the woman, but also puts the stress on the missing man, because now the missing man doesn't really have a leg to stay on, because politically he's kind of like, it's like he doesn't even count anymore. And so it's a very interesting psychological dialogue of what's going on with us African American men collectively, because we are still 50% of the United States American prisons, and 80% of us African Americans in prisons are in there for drug sales. And so, you know, and the majority of homicides on us are from our own people. So, you know, and those things won't gradually change, I would think, in the future. But I do believe that we could teach our children the truth and keep telling them the truth, that we could move collectively in a different direction, collectively on a positive level. And but one of the biggest lies that I see that's going on in America is, for the fact is that it's so hard for us African American men to make legitimate money or make good legitimate money. It's very true in the fact that the system is not set up for us to be successful like that. But at the same time, I'm not going to use that as an excuse that we cannot be successful like that. I'm just saying that it's harder for us to do so. And the very fact is that we think that money is our God, which is what our problem is right now. We collectively, as African Americans, think money is our savior. Money is our God. We got to get the cheddar. We got to get the hustle. And then we have actually put money as a God, as an idol, is our biggest stumbling block collectively at this time. Because what happens is we put our emphasis on the money, and we think money is going to solve all our problems, but money is not going to solve all our problems. Money is not leaving our problem. What is our problem is that we do not have knowledge of self, and we do not plead the kingdom of God first before anything else. That is our collective problem. And that's what we should be preaching from all the way to our children to the end. Now, once again, my name is Cedric Shabazz. This is Revolutionary Soul Talk Radio, also known as God Bread Radio. I have exactly 3 minutes and 30 seconds left on this show, on this 30-minute show. I'd like to say, if you would like to please continue to support God Brothers Entertainment, would you please go to Zazzle, Zazzle.com/ Cedric Shabazz, CedricShabazz, one word. And you could go to that website, and you could purchase a hat, a T-shirt, a calendar, coffee mugs. I have over 200 logos and 5,000 products at Zazzle. Zazzle.com/ Cedric Shabazz, one word, CedricShabazz. And there you can continue to support God Brothers Entertainment, which consists of about 7 or 8 individual businesses, companies. Once again, I thank you so much. This is Cedric Shabazz on this beautiful day. If you get a chance, why don't you guys go ahead and call somebody today, be a blessing to somebody, and, you know, be an ear to somebody, because, you know, there's a lot of people who are hurting out there. They don't have food. They don't have the support that they need. And I believe that God Brothers Radio, God Bless Entertainment, we're on the right track, we're in the right direction. And I'd like to thank all my 1.4 million listeners at this time, because without you, there would be no me. I thank you so much. God bless. And be nice to each other. And I'll see you next weekend at same time.